Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke. We hear two things just about all the time. Americans weigh too much and Americans don't get enough sleep. Well, while there is a lot that goes into both of those phenomena, it turns out that lack of sleep might contribute to our eating habits. That's the conclusion of a research study co-authored by Dr. Cecilia Hillard, a professor of pharmacology and director of the Neuroscience Research Center at the Medical College of Wisconsin. She explained to Lake Effect's Bonnie North what drove her and her fellow researchers to look at this question.
The story kind of starts maybe in the 1950s or 60s, when surveys suggested that people in the United States would get somewhere between 8 and 9 hours of sleep every night, the average individual. And if we fast forward to 2010, that number's now dropped to less than 7 hours of sleep on average in each person. At the same time, we all know the numbers of obese individuals have gone up during that same time period. And epidemiologic studies can graph those two changes and show that there seems to be a relationship or a correlation between the loss of sleep and the growth of our midline. But like all epidemiologic studies, really all it can say is there seems to be a correlation, and it's difficult to prove that one is causing the other, right? So I collaborate with a wonderful investigator down at the University of Chicago, and her name is Ev Van Couter. And she's very interested in trying to understand whether there is a causative relationship between the loss of sleep and the obesity epidemic that's going on in the United States. So what she does is bring in healthy, usually male, young people who are lean into a structured environment in which she controls how much sleep they get every day, as well as isocaloric meals. In other words, she's feeding them the exact same amount at set times during the day. And then most importantly is controlling how much sleep they get every night. And so she can manipulate the length of time that these individuals are sleeping and then ask them the next day, how hungry are you? She can also measure things in the blood that we know are factors that are communicating between the gut and the adipose tissue and the brain that are sending signals saying, you're hungry, you better eat more, or the opposite signal, which says, you're really full, stop eating. So she has the ability to really ask the question whether or not this shortened period of sleep that we've experienced does increase hunger and therefore alter the motivation for us to consume calories.
So what is the answer?
The answer is they are very much related. So what happens when someone, even with as few as 2 or 3 days of a sleep deprivation period, which is generally about 4 hours of sleep is what she uses, they see a vast increase in the amount of hunger these people are experiencing the next day. And not only that, when they measure things that are in their blood that we know are factors that either cause us to eat more or to feel full, she sees a reduction in the factor that says you've had enough to eat and you're feeling full, and an increase in the concentration of the factor that says you need to go out and eat more food. So it's a bit of a double whammy when you consider those two things that act in opposite directions are both telling the brain and therefore telling you the next day that you're hungry and you need to eat more food.
So it sounds like our biology is working against us in the modern world, that we're set up to increase food consumption because the body is saying, oh, well, you know, I haven't had enough sleep. I need to have my energy restored somehow.
Exactly. You're right. So the body is perceiving you being active for a greater portion of your day as a need for more caloric or nutrient intake to support that activity. But as you alluded to, famine and starvation are more of a problem in our hard wiring of our body than overeating is. So the body is set up to overconsume calories whenever it's noticing a deficit in the amount of calories needed to keep the body going for that period of time. So you're absolutely right. What happens is that the body overconsumes. One estimate is that this loss of about 4 hours of sleep per night really costs the individual about 130 calories. I mean, that's just a a piece of bread, essentially.
Not much.
Not much at all. But yet the signals that the brain is receiving are to consume far more than just that little bit more. So we're overshooting in the consumption of additional food to cover this need for more energy.
It's almost like, again, the brain is thinking, well, it's short now. It might be short again tomorrow. It might be short again the next day. So we better get it now.
Exactly. We're saving up for that famine that may be coming ahead of us so that we have enough fuel and enough fat stored in our bodies to get through it.
What do we take now that we've seen the cause? There is a causality and that these two things are very intricately linked. Is it as simple as saying get more sleep to fix the problem?
It definitely – that's the first thing I think people should do. Anybody who is trying to fight a weight problem who is not sleeping at least 7 hours a night, you know, and even better, 8 or 9 hours a night, that would be a very simple thing to try and fix. It would be very interesting to notice whether they felt less hungry if they really got themselves into a different sleep pattern.
But I can hear people saying there just isn't possible to get more sleep. You know, I've got this obligation and that obligation and the family is doing this and this has to happen. How do we juggle that? How do we make that happen?
Yeah, I mean, that's the priority thing, right?
Yeah.
And deciding how you're going to spend your time. But just like needing to add more exercise into your day to make yourself healthy as well, I think that we are really underestimating in many ways the importance of sleep in our daily lives. And, you know, we focus on we got to get up early and get a run in so I'm more healthy. But if you're robbing yourself of an hour or two of sleep to do that run, you may not actually be going in the right direction.
So sleep might be more important.
It could be, yeah.
So are there – I know there were tests done in terms – you mentioned earlier the various hormones that make you feel hungry, make you feel full. What were specific findings in this study? Were people literally losing their satiety hormone if they hadn't slept enough?
That's right. So their satiety hormone levels were going down and their orexigenic, or that hormone that's telling you I need to eat, is going up. So that was the finding that was published several years ago. And what her laboratory and my laboratory have done recently is actually identified yet a third factor that actually is an endogenous activator of the same receptor that's activated by marijuana and its chemicals. So we certainly all have heard, I'm sure, that cannabis use or marijuana use causes the munchies. And this is a real phenomenon. When cannabis is ingested by people, it activates a receptor that promotes eating of very highly, we call them palatable foods. Translate that into junk food.
Something that tastes really good and is really bad.
Exactly. Lots of sugar, lots of fat.
Not broccoli.
No. So when people are using marijuana, they have this phenomenon. Well, we know that there's a chemical in the body that we call the endocannabinoid, which is the brain's own marijuana, essentially. And what Dr. Van Couter's lab and my laboratory did together was actually measure the concentration of the endocannabinoid in the blood in these human subjects that were either getting normal amounts of sleep or shortened sleep. And what we found, first of all, very remarkably, is that the concentration of this compound in the blood varies almost fourfold from nighttime when you're sleeping and you shouldn't be eating to daytime when it's very high. So this fits the idea that this is another factor that's driving us to consume calories. And of course, we need to consume calories during the day. I mean, that's when we eat. And so it's very high during the day and off at night.
Are you saying that when people aren't getting enough sleep, that this particular receptor is higher when it shouldn't be?
So what happens, so in under normal conditions, it rises and peaks maybe at about noon, and then it comes down to virtually to fourfold less by the time you're going to bed. What happens when somebody's been sleep deprived is that it goes up higher and it peaks later in the day. So it's sort of driving, it's moving the whole timing of your consuming calories to later in the day. And anybody who's been trying to to think about their weight and when they consume calories knows that there's some evidence that you should eat earlier in the day rather than, of course, right before you go to bed. That we kind of do it backwards in this country. We should be having breakfast as our largest meal and dinner as our smallest. So the dysregulation in this factor seems to be that it's prolonging this need to consume calories till a little bit later in the day and then increasing the amount of it that's in the blood overall as well. So we need to sort out a lot of things, but if there is sort of a one-to-one relationship between the amount in the blood and how hungry we are, you can see that this is going to add to our problem of wanting to consume not only food, but junk food.
So it's not just a matter of willpower.
It's not. I'm a neuroscientist, so I firmly believe that the way we work and the way we make our decisions and so forth are regulated by chemical changes in our brain. And this is just another example of a very sophisticated process that is designed to keep us from starving that in 21st century America is getting all out of whack and is really pushing us to gain weight.
So what's next for you in terms of further study? What are you going to be looking at on the back of this?
Mm-hmm. So one of the things we still have to do, so in addition to the measurements of these chemicals in the blood, we also have survey information. So the people were asked, how hungry are you, et cetera. So we need to fold all that together and sort of see whether there are relationships between the concentrations of these endocannabinoids in the blood and how hungry people are. And then secondly, I think we start thinking about interventions. You know, are there ways that we can modulate this driver for consuming a lot of high calories? So, for example, what is the overlay of exercise, for one thing? So if you exercise early in the morning, does that help mitigate the effects of this hormone that's driving us to eat? Is it the same in males and females, which is another really important question? Is it the same during the period of people's lives? That relationship between loss of sleep and weight gain is actually more profound in children even than in adults. So is this system really dysregulated more in children? What happens on the other end of the age spectrum after menopause, for example?
Or, you know, older people almost always say that their sleep has changed,
yes,
that they don't sleep as much,
right,
for whatever reasons those mm-hmm. are. And I would imagine that that would have something to do with it as well.
Right. Although the elderly tend to not respond to that with a lot of weight gain. So is there something that happens ultimately that maybe breaks the relationship between loss of sleep and this increase in caloric intake?
Well, as you get ready to do all of that and find those particular results, I guess the best thing we can do is say, get more sleep.
Yes. What your mother told you, sleep and exercise and drinking a lot of water, those are still probably the best messages for a healthy life.
Well, Cecilia, I want to thank you so much for stopping by today. It's been very eye-opening.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it very much.
Dr. Cecilia Hillard is a professor of pharmacology and the director of the Neuroscience Research Center at the Medical College of Wisconsin. She's co-author of a study on lack of sleep and eating. The results were presented over the summer at the annual meeting of the Endocrine Society. Another break now, then a fall movie preview with film contributor Dave Lurson. This is Lake Effect from WUWM. Keep listening.